So today is the Feast of the Ascension, which is simply the completion of Jesus' career as a human being. That is, if we go back to the resurrection, I think it's useful to understand what's going on, what's being celebrated today, to look again at the resurrection. That came very late into Jewish thought. And even at the time of Jesus, not all Jews believed in a resurrection of the dead, of the body. The priests didn't, for example, and we find evidence of this in the New Testament. And what is, therefore, the meaning of the resurrection? It's not just kind of some response on the part of God to the little poor human beings are afraid of dying and evaporating after that. No. Nor is it a reward for good behavior. The resurrection is simply the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is a God who is faithfully loving, steadfastly loving. And so when God raised Jesus from the dead, this was God just being God, loving this man who gave himself absolutely to the world and to the Father. So there's a kind of logic. Please note, it is not a reward here. It is simply God acting continuously with God's own self. This is enormously important, I think, because we have to remember that the man who was raised from the dead and the man, therefore, who is ultimately taken to God, this human being, ultimately taken to God, the first and only, we believe, human being, sitting with the Father, was also the man who was crushed. And this, you can't understand either the resurrection or the ascension, I think, without being aware, first of all, that the initiative is entirely on God's side, God being faithful, to Jesus' fidelity. And of course, the cost of Jesus' fidelity was being crushed. In that letter, that passage from the Ephesians, it said that now Jesus is above every power and dominion. What does that mean? Every normal way in which the world works. Because here, on this side of the grave, you're crushed, and that's the end of it. No more. There is no more. But if God really is on the side of the crushed, then in God raising Jesus from the dead, God has exalted this man who, in his utter fidelity to God, was crushed by the world. And so, where are we in the midst of all this? Well, as again, the letters of Ephesians say, we are with Jesus. We are with Jesus. And we are with Jesus to the extent that we too are crushed in the world, by the world. That we too live our lives as an act of resistance to the powers that be, to business as usual, to the kind of violence and indifference and oppression that is the hallmark of our world. This seems to me inescapable. It is true, I deeply believe, that there are all these little green sprouts. Spring is such a nice time. Bet and I were talking about all these little green things. I believe in the hearts of all kinds of people, there's a real earnestness and energy and desire to live honestly and truly and openly with each other. But that's not the public scene. That's not the macro scale of our world. The macro scale of our world is the world that's lived in the basis of realpolitik, which is violence. So, to live in this steadfast, open, honest, tempting to love world is inevitably to be hurt by the world. I don't see how you can get around that. I mean, the example of the saints makes it very clear. But as the canon of the Mass will say, Jesus is our hope. What? As a reward? No. No. The resurrection was not Jesus' reward for being nice. God does not work on a calculus of reward and punishment. God just works on being God. And being God means to be steadfastly loving, even after death. I really do believe that this puts a radically different complexion on the whole process, on the logic of Jesus' life and the logic of God's own steadfast love. Because we want to, in a sense, trivialize that in all kinds of ways. But we have to be really careful to let God be God, to let God do God's own thing, not just for Jesus, but for us.